Hallelujah. Here in my spirit, two words, verge or on the verge. Maybe it's more than two, but two messages on the verge and at hand. At hand. For those that are seeking this and have sought it their whole lives, the verge, on the verge, is at hand. Stepping over into this is at hand. A little more. A little more pressing. More tenacity to stay. More deafened ears to the rhetoric of the enemy, begging you to stop, to slow down, that it's not working. For the verge, you're stepping your toes spiritually right on that edge, which I'm about to bring, as I have said, but these words about to bring are fashioned with a foundation of many sayings of prophets, prophetic words in my word, the culmination of all things, and a billion soul harvest is on the verge being launched. It is at hand, so close that your hand can reach out spiritually and take hold of it. This thing is not far from you. Reach out. Reach out, says the Spirit of the Lord. Pull this thing close to your spiritual bosom and own it. Own it of yourself. Walk into it. Cherish it. Cherish it like a child, like your child. Cherish it, for I've given it to you. It's at hand. You're on the verge. So step over. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're living in the very best and the worst of times, all at the same time. So many things happening on the planet, in our nation. But I don't know about you, but I bet I can tell you what I believe's in you, if you're spending any time at all, that there's an excitement. There's an excitement right in the middle of chaos. Right in the middle of questions about where our nation is going and what can happen. A lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff yesterday. But you know what it is? I can tell you this. The earth is ripe for a harvest. It's just all this chaos is agitating things for a divine purpose. So yesterday, just continue to see those scenes in the Carolinas, and Georgia. Looks like what was here 2 years ago. Maybe, I don't know, maybe worse. Maybe the body counts more, I don't know. But it doesn't, it's all Israel, most of you know. And to say, really, to say that we could be on the verge of another world war is not, it's not too far out. It's not exaggerating. I called my oldest daughter yesterday. She called me back later. I'd watched some of the news, and she said, "What's going on?" I said, "Have you watched any of the news?" "Well, this morning I watched a little bit." She said, "What's going on?" I said, "Oh, nothing. Just World War III started." She said, "Nothing really, nothing big, you know, just..." She goes, "Oh..." It's like, "Oh, God." But a lot is going on. The planet is dying, and the planet's, you know, Satan, yes, is working still, kill and destroy. But you also got to know something else too. I got to be real careful how I say this, because it could be misconstrued. But I think I can say it right. Not only is Satan trying to kill, steal, and destroy, but the increase of how things are happening. Prolific destruction, storms. You know, we're wheat sown among tares, and the wheat is supposed to be salt and light, right? Salt and light. And America as a whole, America is under, it's already, we're fighting for it, and I believe it still can be saved in a great sense of the word, but it's under judgment. It's under judgment. And it's under judgment primarily for all the innocent blood. It's under judgment. So sometimes the innocent, they're, you know, even God's people. I say this with people in here that have suffered extremely from storms. And even the people up there, God didn't send it. He didn't direct it at the righteous. But the nation is of a whole is under a judgment. What does that mean? It means at some point when you begin to go so far, so much innocent blood has been shed, that God's hand is just taken off. Then all these catastrophes take place. Say, well, what about the righteous? The righteous does have a promise, but it's a war. It's a war. I say this, having two hurricanes come right over my house. I don't know if you've ever walked out and looked up in the eye of it, but they're clear. But there's something bad coming on the other side. Wilma, 2005, yep. Irma, 2017. Both of them came right over the top of my house. That's when the church... Hey, if you thought God would save anything, you'd think he'd save his church. But that's when the water poured in here. We're weed among tares, and we're in a battle. And God's not sending all of it, but he's had to lift his hand because of the sins. We had in Wilma, you know, I have stayed through the worst ones. My girls, the last one, Davy, Gene, and they came over. They figure if Dad says we're not going to die, they can come over. You know, it's going to be all right. But honest to goodness, looked back on it, if you have children, and we did have our little ones, it's kind of, you may say, Pastor, you're a little bit weird, but it's a little bit fun to start with, the wind. It's fun at 50, 60, and then 70, you know, it's getting close to, and Candy always, Bronk, she gets so upset with me because I go out to see if I can stand up and it won't knock me down. She goes, Bronk, don't stop doing that. Wilma or Irma went out just 15 feet, and just a pine needle, just one pine needle hit me in the head. I come back inside, blood's running down my face, and Candy's like, why do you do stuff like that? Why? I want to see if I can still stand up. But it's fun at 70, but we had, when it gets to be, the EOC said we had, I don't know if it was Wilma or Irma, but one of them sustained means just constant, 130, the EOC said in Immokalee, 135 mile an hour winds for 45 minutes. Now nothing, you know, I've lost fences and sheds and all kind of stuff. Nothing like our dear friends in the back of face. But all of that is a fight. And God's with us in the middle of it. He's going to be with us no matter what comes or what goes. And no matter what wars take place. Hallelujah. No matter what hurricanes come. I think if I had to go through another one, I might tell the kids, it's traumatic on kids. When it gets to be 100, when it's 100, it's okay. But when it gets to be 120 and 135, the block house, you can, and then I've, both of them, when it got to be 130, I was like, did I make the right decision? And we're putting couches up against that big plate glass window that Rex put up, and I'm like, was I just stupid or did I have faith? And that's where you say, but there's no leaving then. You know, there's no leaving then. So you can't, I know they say there's whiteouts with snow. I have been in one of those in Dakota one time hunting, where you couldn't see anything in front of you. But these whiteouts with hurricanes, you can't see that wall. That's how bad it is. But things are changing, and we're in the middle of a storm, per se, spiritually. But in the middle of it, a revival is birthed. It's the most exciting thing on the planet, no matter where you're at watching, or no matter where you come from, and Tennessee or any other place, you'll be emissaries of this revival. It'll pour out of you. Hallelujah. You'll propagate it through, whether you have a local church you can go through to or whatever. But how many saw the debate last night? Maybe a couple? Okay. It was awesome. It was really good. It kept me from getting up as early as I normally do. J.D. Vance did an incredible job. He won hands down, not just because I was pulling for him, but he has a Reagan-esque way about him that he can stand strong in what he believes, but after he says it, you still like him, even if you don't like what he said. And honestly, I kept watching, me and Candy were watching both of them, and you know, Reagan could say that. He could say real strong things. Tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev. He could, you know, just, but yet, people liked him. And J.D. Vance can say something, and me and Candy were laughing because we said to each other, they're going to go have pizza after this. That's how, you know, it was really, but he was very strong. He can say something. And Mr. Trump, which I like and love, but he'll say the same thing, but when he says it, he makes everybody mad. Everybody hates him in the room, but he just said the same thing that JD said, but he said it in a way that, so Mr. Vance is, you know, he's way better a debater than Mr. Trump, way better, but when I watched that, I began to get focused on thoughts later about what will really decide this election. And it's amazing, all the issues, and some of them are major issues, and I'm not going to go into all that, but inflation, people being able to buy groceries is a big issue, of course. Immigration, people's safety, and all those things. And you would think that those would be top, and they are to some degree, but even people that don't like President Trump will, a lot of them that don't like him and won't vote for him, say, yeah, I feel safer under him, and I think he can do a better job as far as inflation. But what the nation is divided on that will decide more than anything else is the abortion issue. And part of it is because Christians are not on the same page. They're just not on the same page with this. So that's an issue, a major, major issue. And it's amazing that, I don't know how many of you get Jim Martin's letters, but you should. They're very good, and they are for free. They're free. And I thought about, this was so good, I thought about it just reading it, but Jim writes little books. I write Jesus Loves You, This I Know, For the Bible Tells You So. He writes an expose. Yeah, you're just incredible. It's always good. It's always good. But let me just read some excerpts, and it'll exemplify what I'm talking about. And this is why we need to pray. And we also need to, as revivalists, get on the same page. By the way, how many of you got one of these on your, I don't know who was doing that. It was okay. I wouldn't have stopped them if I'd have seen it. But this is this is vote no on Amendment 4. Now, I had to read it and read it again. Me and Velati were talking, and then I asked Ralph, because he knows everything, you know. He goes, no, I'm up on this. You vote no. Yes, this is. So they make these things where you don't know if you vote, if you're voting no means yes or yes means no. I don't know, you know, because I think they do it to fool you, really, the way they come up with these. So you definitely, right now, Florida has a 6-week abortion ban. Ohio, I think, had that same, and it went through Ohio, and they got it passed, 2 years ago? When was it? Now it's right up, I think it's right, I think it might be wrong on this, but I think it's almost right up to birth, right up to birth, which is amazing. It's amazing. And that was another excellent point that J.D. Vance said to Tim Walz last night, he said, your state allows us. No, they don't. And he said, it doesn't, the bill doesn't allow for that. It does. And so he specifically said, okay, tell me exactly, basically, where it says that. Because it does say that. And he couldn't say it. So he did an excellent job exposing. But Jim did an excellent job, and I cannot read this. Maybe I should have gave it to Sarah to read. But this is, the title of it is Polonium and Leaven. Polonium, and that's a mineral. But he says, dear friends, I'm going to open this letter with a bit of science lesson. The following information was obtained, and he goes through these websites. Polonium is a rare and highly radioactive chemical element. Due to the short life, half-life of all its isotopes, its natural occurrence is limited to tiny traces of the fleeting polonium-210 in uranium ores. And so I'm just kind of skipping over all the science part. This is tell you how toxic it is. Toxicologists estimate that 1 gram of 210 polonium could be enough to kill 50 million people. It's 50 million people. And make another 50 million people ill. 1 gram of 210 PO is roughly the size of a U.S. quarter, and it would have to take less than 1 millionth of that amount to kill. And he goes on to the person that actually was the discoverer of it. To me, this is a graphic, he says, illustration of the warning Paul gave in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, and in Galatians 5, 9, concerning the danger of wrong doctrine and a little leaven, leavening, or leaveneth the whole lump. And this is an illustration that he gives, and it's incredible letter. Please get it. Go to his website if you're not signed up to get his letters. Get this most recent one, because it really does speak of where America's at and where many Christians are at. Some who really, really love God, but have not checked their thoughts, what they believe, what they don't believe, in accordance to the Word of God. The following are two recent word-for-word posts as they appear on Facebook, he says. These posts were part of two separate discussions about the upcoming presidential election and abortion. Both were written by people who adamantly profess Jesus as Savior. So it doesn't give, of course, names, but post one says, I would just like to offer another perspective for you guys to consider. Respectfully, I am a Christian and I am a Republican. I think abortion is terrible, but, capital B-U-T, I don't think it is the government's place to make that decision for every individual. My morality isn't justified for nationwide legislation. I know women who have gotten abortions, and it's not a decision that they take lightly or make willy-nilly. It's a decision made with heartbreak and tears. And every woman has her own reasons. Now, you see the reasoning? I just thought of this. I know the Lord just reminded me just now. I remember Gary Carpenter saying years ago, and I might not get the quote right, but he said, human, because this all comes out of compassion. And that's how the devil twisted. He twisted. That's his name, Diablo. He's a twister. And the what he said was, and this is close, but might not be, he said, when human compassion is substituted for God's compassion, it's as poison as arsenic or strychnine. I don't know which one he used, but something to that So when human compassion, reasoning, replaces truth, it's poison. It's poison, and it's poisoned so much of Christianity in America. It's a decision, this woman says, with, I suppose, woman, heartbreak and tears. And every woman has her own reasonings, her reasons, but the idea being pushed currently by Trump and those close to him would make abortion drugs illegal to produce, meaning no abortions ever. While it's easy as a Christian to say that's great, that's not taking into account the woman whose life might be in danger from pregnancy, nor the 12-year-old, she's given examples, 12-year-old girl who was raped and impregnated by her father or step or brother. And that's the same Republican Party, now she goes a little rant here, only cares about the baby until, caps, it's born. You better not want any financial help for that child because Republicans don't want to give you any. It may be a morally gross, but politically it's about control. The Republican Party has made Christianity a weapon for political power, control, and judgment. But forget about the whole love your neighbor and feed the hungry bit. So doesn't sound like a whole lot of goes into a rant, kind of, doesn't it? I promise not all Democrats are godless heathens. They just don't think it's the government's place to make that decision for everyone else. And honestly, even as a Christian and a Republican, more or less anyway, I kind of see their point. As I become less quick to judge and more willing to hear their point of view, I found that really most of them aren't that different. They just had different experiences or have people close to them in different situations. So here we go into the relativity. When you go into relativity or thought processes, post two, this is by someone else. Yes, I am pro-choice. I was raped and got pregnant, and I had a choice, and I chose to have the baby. It's not easy to go through a pregnancy that happened through rape. You relive that every day. I want every woman to have the choice. It's not our right to make that choice for them. So he goes on, and so I can just tell you, I don't want to be a spoiler here, you need to read it. It's really good because he brings up every aspect of the arguments of which are something to consider. What if the young lady's raped, incest, or even to the point of jeopardizing their own physical. And he goes through, you know, Jim, he goes through every part of every one of those questions and renders the word of God that really gives no exceptions. And I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. We can't be sorry for the word of God. We can't be sorry for the word of God. And we can't be mean either. I know that. But there's a lot of Christians, listen, there's many that are so, they walk close enough to God that they're not going to make the decision to vote for it. They'll vote in conscience. But there are probably millions of Christians that this little thing right here is a voice in their mind. So much so that it will affect them even at the polls. It really will. And it'll deceive, and it's part of Satan's plan. The letter's incredible. Get it, read it. If you say, well, I don't know about, get it, read it, because the word is there. and I'm not trying to prosecute this because I believe that you all believe this. You might want to write this down, or I think it'd be good for you to write it down, or just you can text on your phone right now. Take a moment. I want everybody out there to please there's a program by Allie Beth Stuckey, wonderful young lady, Christian young lady. Relatable, I believe, is the name of the program. And you'll want to Google that program and put in, that's Allie Beth Stuckey, S-T-U-C-K-E-Y. Relatable is the program. And then you'll want to put in a very peculiar name. It may come up just by putting in this name, but I think he has other stuff. Stephen Then. It's S-T-E-V-E-N-T-H-E-N. Stephen Then. I said, what kind of name is that? I saw it. I don't know. I'm trying to pronounce it. How does he? Stephen Holland. Holland, H-O-L-L-A-N-D. And there's a program which is 45 minutes, 47 minutes. You'll need to make this part of your life, your understanding on, you know, Jim comes at it from the Word of God's sake. But, you need that as your foundation. But you'll need this because I didn't hear from, you know, Jim didn't recommend this. The Lord just supernaturally led me to this recently, to that program, and I watched it and I cried and I said, Candy, you got to watch it. And Candy cried, and so Stephen Then Holland is now a 42-year-old Christian. He's mixed. He is a worship leader, travels all over the nation. When I listened to his interview, it was incredible. Loves God. Just picture of love. If you listen to this, watch this, get ready to cry. Or at least it's going to move you. But his mother, which he did not know because he was adopted, when he was 8 years old, it's amazing, he's mixed, but he's got a southern accent. And his mother came from right around Rome, Georgia. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. She got over to Chattanooga, Tennessee area, and that's where she actually had him. But when he was 8 years old, he was adopted. And he went to school, and his friends were saying, what's wrong with your skin? Your skin's different than ours. You got funny skin. Well, he's darker. He's mixed. And he goes home to his mama, which is his adopted mother, and says, why are these kids saying my skin's different? What? He had never recognized, you know. Why is my skin different color? And then so she begins to tell him, you're adopted. And we got you when you were just like 7 days old from the hospital. You're malnourished and really almost ready to die. And so he said, I accepted that, and he didn't know who his mom was. They didn't even know at the time. And so he lets it go, and he grows up, and he tells a story of always fighting this battle of wondering who he was, and but got born again, you know, was raised in a, he said, I had this problem. He said, I did have one problem growing up, and he said, I had an incredible drug problem. I don't want to spoil this all for you. You got to watch it. But he said, I had a drug problem, terrible. He said, I was drugged to church every time the doors were open. Every time the doors were open, Mama made sure I was there. And he got born again, and you can tell he's gloriously filled with Christ. But he got married, has three beautiful daughters, and they're still young and teenagers. And the Lord began to allow him to search out where he was from. And he found out that he traced it back, and he found his mother. And his mother was a special needs person, had the mentality. She was in a home. She had the mentality of an 11-year-old. And he then he began to, you know, he was... It's a story. It's an incredible story. You just got to watch it. And there's some things that you can watch when he met his mom. But she was an 11-year-old. But she was a... She had an 11-year-old mentality. And she was in a home. This is way before he was ever born. And she was in an institution. They had her institutionalized. And she had several siblings. It must have been... genetic. She had several siblings that were the same way. And so when she got to be 18, she could communicate enough and think enough that they started letting her leave the institution and walk down the street and work at some little store or something. You know how, and I'm not saying this to be demeaning, but you know how Walmart will allow many special needs people. And they allowed her to do that, and she was functioning fine and getting down there and coming back every day. Well, one day she's coming home, and five men grab her, pull her into an alley, and all five of them rape her. And that's where he's conceived. He never knows, even to this day, who his father was or any of those men. But he grows up, and he finds out how he was conceived. He was a child of rape, and his mother, when they found out, the institution said, this young lady, she doesn't have the mentality of, she'll never, so they just automatically planned her abortion. Well, she had enough wherewithal in her mind to say, I want my baby. I want my baby. And they detested, no, you're not. She actually she ran away and ran from that part. And they found her over in Tennessee. They didn't find her. A young boy that skipped school one day, a 16-year-old, he's walking in the back of a grocery store or something. And, he hears this box, and she's laying over there 9 months pregnant in the box, just trying to live out from underneath the elements. He takes her home. She's, you know, she doesn't know that much, but she's pregnant, and he brings her in. He goes, Mama, can we keep her? Can we help her? And there's like, first of all, son, why are you bringing this pregnant? Well, obviously, it was solved quickly. They knew by talking to her. And so they put her in a home, and then she had Stephen, then, and he was immediately adopted, you know, because she couldn't, and he didn't know who she was for many, many years. But he's such a powerful man of God today. Such a powerful man of God. What's your point? Well, a lot. A lot's my point. Once a baby is conceived, it's God's heritage. God's heritage. And no amount of reasoning, it doesn't matter if it was adultery, it doesn't matter if kids got too excited and did things they shouldn't do. The moment that baby is conceived, that's the heritage of God. And God has a plan for that baby boy or that baby girl. And this man has gone all over preaching the word and leading and teaching. And he said he was in one place. He goes all over to these pregnancy centers and talks about he was a child of rape. And this 13-year-old, I guess she may have been a little older at the time when he saw her, but she comes up and he gets her story. She's crying because she gave away her little boy. Her uncle had raped her at 12. This is exactly what this post was arguing about. Had raped her at 12. And the family that she was with, they said, you're going to get an abortion. She actually ran away. The state took her, I guess, and let her have the child. And she gave it up. And he was able, he said, in that church service or whatever it was, they brought the child up and put it in his arms, and little boy. And he said, I just broke down and cried. And then this little girl, teenage girl, said, I feel so bad about having to give him up. But he gave her his story. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. No matter what, and we've got word, but every one of them is the heritage of God. And they have a plan. God has a plan. Now, we've got just a few minutes. Do we have that? I want you to see this guy, hear him. He wrote this song. This is about his experience and his mother, and it's to give honor to her. But I thought, wow, what an incredible testimony of a child of rape, and how that God is using him so strong in the earth today. So if you have, so thank you. I'll be right back.
You are not alone.
Is that powerful or what? Incredible. Now, what if that young man, what if they'd have said, well, his mother's been raped. She's mentally, severely, he said, you just cry. She's since passed. She passed in the nursing home. But he said for the years that after he found her, he'd bring his girls over there. And the happiest time for her was that she'd just played dolls with her girls, because that was her mentality. What if they'd have said, well, she's mentally handicapped. Chances are the baby is too. She can never take care of him. She'll never be able to. All the arguments. But now he's changing the world. He's changing, getting people born again, changing the world. Every child is the heritage of the Lord. Hallelujah. So Christians, we have to come together on this. And revivalists, we sure have to come together on this. We have to be believing, speaking, and saying all the same thing. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time tonight? Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the coming revival and all that you're doing for us in opening up our hearts, our minds, our spirits to truth. And the inevitability of your kingdom come in fullness. We ask you to bless our time as we go forth and keep us safe on the roads. Many are driving in this rain. And we just thank you for Sunday service miracles. We're believing for miracles on Sunday. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.